It is the Brotherly Love Podcast, anchor.fm. Hope everybody's doing well out there. Thanks for tuning in. Joe O'Donnell, John Mita, as always with you, talking some Philly sports. And we got a lot to get into, Johnny Mita. How the hell are you?
Good, man. Big week. Cowboys week, baby. Cowboys week.
All right.
Dallas sucks.
I like your energy already. That's a good start.
Yeah, man. This is a big week.
It is.
We gotta get through this week, and then we get the R&R. Beautiful spot having a bye midseason. But anyway, I'll let you.
I do love it. Yeah. I do love the bye week, but this one's a crucial one. We'll get there in a minute.
Yeah.
First thing, though, we unfortunately have to throw some dirt on the Phillies' coffin. Hopefully that's not too morbid out there for many of you. But, dude, we last talked. I was in Montreal. They were, I guess, getting ready for game one against the Diamondbacks. And we felt good, you and I. I said Phil's in six. I think you said Phil's in five.
Yeah.
They take the first two at home.
Right.
This one's going to sting for a long time, man. To me, this is like the Super Bowl loss last year for the Eagles. And in some ways, and maybe even more magnified just because of my passion for the Phillies, but the Sixers choking away game 6 and 7 against the Celtics.
Yeah, that was bad.
You know, it's just, look, and baseball's got the 2-3-2 format. So if you're the road team and you split in 1 and 2, you're feeling really good about yourself. You're the home team, you take both two as you know, you're expected to, you should feel really good about yourself. I don't know what happened. Oh, I have a couple of theories as to what happened to Phils, and I'll give you them in a second, but obviously extremely disappointing, shocking, stunning, brutal, embarrassing, to be quite honest. It's a choke job. It's probably right up there, Johnny Mita, with the many of them that we've seen in our lifetime. But you know, I don't even want to talk about the World Series. It's pain. I have watched a little bit more than I thought I would, just because there's been nothing else on TV and I've been bored.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's been painful to watch. What'd you make of the Phils collapse, man? Let's just call it like it is.
Listen, like, you could see the momentum. Like, obviously they take two at home, right? You're feeling good. They have the 10-0 game, right? Then they get to Arizona and have a game where they probably should have won, and then Kimbrel throws up on himself, and you let one get away in extras, right? That was what, the 2-1 game, maybe?
Yeah, that was. I think that was that bottom game of the 10th or bottom of the 9th that they won it.
Yeah, it was either the 9th or the 10th.
Yeah, either way, it's a walk off, and it was 2-1.
It's a walk, right? And then the next night, you're kind of in the driver's seat a little bit. You're feeling okay. And then, boom, that goes away. And you're like, oh, boy. You're right? Like, you're like, okay. Like, and then the third game in Arizona.
Then it's a best of three, you know?
Best of three. And then you feel good. You're like, they were pretty much dominant. They win the game. I think the final game in Arizona was 6-1, right? Something like that, I believe.
6-2, I think, but yeah.
6-2, right? So they gave up another run late. And then you're like, all right, listen, you go home. Again, I thought they're going to be able to close it out. And then they just look lifeless. Like, I don't know what, but you just, like, your stars, your hitters just didn't come up. We can talk. Listen, the bullpen had its struggles, specifically the closer. We definitely need one of those in the offseason. Goodbye, Mr. Kimbrel, a.k.a. Thriller. See you later. But I saw a stat, right? The craziest stats I saw were, like, your best hitters in, like, games like 5 or 6 and 7 between them. When I say best hitters, I'm talking Trey Turner, Harper, Castellanos, Realmuto, and there was somebody else who
Schwarber.
And Schwarber, right? They went 3 of 36, right, in two games, which is like, holy crap. Then somebody else told me this other statistic the other day, which was, again, a mind blower, is if you take that 10-0 game out, right, their batting average for the series was 150. 150.
Wow.
Like, that's just like – one good game, and like the 10-0, obviously they won a couple other games, but you just didn't see them. You just didn't think they were going to be able to collapse. And Nola got a tough strike. It's heartbreaking. The worst part about it is, like, you had two opportunities to close out at home.
Yeah.
I think that when that's what hurts most, right? If you were, like, if it was, like, tied up, it was the last game, you only had one game at home to win it, you lose it, it's a tough one, you're like, all right. But the way they lost and they just came up so small, it's just – it's hard. Did they get overconfident? Maybe. Did they just think – the energy of Citizens Bank Park and the rabid fans was going to carry them to a victory. I don't know. But it's just disappointing. And the other thing is, too, I mean, listen, it's on the players. We saw, like, Castellanos, my man, after he had those – after the Braves series, you know, the guy thought he was Babe Ruth. And I would just say that the things that let him down was their pitching didn't come up when it needed. And the other one was their plate discipline as far as chasing stuff was just out of control in the last couple games of the series.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like the Diamondbacks change up their pitching strategy. Like, listen, yep, we're not going to throw strikes. We're not going to throw fastballs down the middle. We're going to make you wait, sit, be patient. And the game, like Schwarber and Harper, like that game where they both went yard against Gallen or whatever, at those two at bats, man, they waited out like 6-7 pitches. Each batter waited them out. When it came, everyone was just pressing. I don't know if the pressure got to him, but it's hard. And listen, Rob Thompson, you know, he was quick to pull some pitchers when they were rolling and kind of gas out the bullpen. And maybe that had something to do with it. And just not changing up the lineup. I think, listen, I know you're all about loyalty. And listen, I love the word loyalty, and I'm a big fan of it, especially when it comes to friendships and business and everything else. But there's a time where maybe you need to mix it up a little bit, you know, change, put something different on the plate to maybe give your team some juice. So that's kind of
– it's one of the
but
things-
it's going to hurt like hell. It's like, you know, the phrase, it's a Philly thing. You know, the Sixers dropped six and six. It's a Philly thing. You know, Marissa, she was at the game. Listen, I've attended games where you think you're going to the Super Bowl and you walk out of there. It's like death at a funeral, man. It is a horrible, gross feeling. Like when we lost the Super Bowl, I had the opportunity to go out there. I couldn't imagine coming home after the way the Eagles got screwed and they lost that game and they shot themselves in the foot. I mean, just so depressing, man. It's kind of like a rite of passage here. I told my brother, my nephew's like 15 years old. He was 1 year old when he was born. I'm like, Mike, bring him down to the parade. You know, that was 14 years ago.
Yeah.
It's awful.
I had it jotted down as well, Topper's, you know, unwillingness to waver from his guys, right? And
that's it.
And I think some of that is the old school mentality.
Yep.
And being a bench coach for so long, I feel like the bench coach is the guy, right? He's like right. The glue guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what the hell bench coach usually does. Just make sure guys are ready in the dugout, make sure double checking lineups and making sure nobody's screwed up the manager gets kicked out, you take over. Like, I don't know what else a bench coach does, if I'm being completely honest, but Topper's a bench coach for what, 30 years?
Yep.
And like, that's a steady hand. That's a stay the course. That's I've got your back. And the players like that, right? We've seen them respond. Not saying he's not the right guy for the job.
Right.
But he's been very unwilling to change the lineup. Even within that series, even going into game 7, I believe the Diamondbacks changed, just flip-flop, you know, Carroll and Marte at the top of the order. Like, it's just a different look. And, you know, Topper's not willing to do it. He is what he is. It's not the reason they lost, but certainly when you look back, hindsight's 2020, like maybe shaking things up. You know, everybody wanted Boehm out of the cleanup spot. He ends up hitting a dinger in game 7, but whatever. Point is, they had 18 innings of baseball at home, and they scored 3 measly runs. That's, to me, that's the bottom line. But I got two things that I jotted down for why the Phillies lost when I boil it down. And I guess you could add the measly 3 runs in 18 innings to it, but Kimbrel couldn't throw strikes in games 3 and 4, right? Onion Boy couldn't even throw strikes in game 4, right? You had a 5-2 lead. He walked in a run to make it 5-3. Then Kimbrel gives up the game-tying dinger. So mainly, though, Kimbrel's inability to throw strikes in game 3 and 4 cost this team. And then that 10-run game, Johnny Mita, you mentioned it. You know, it's a 10-0 game in game number two. I think the Phillies got Dinger happy. I really do. They were swinging pitches out of the zone, as you noted. I'd love to see the stat on the number of strikeouts on balls that weren't in the strike zone as the series moved along. You know, they forced the Phillies to try and to get a little aggressive, a little anxious up there at the plate, and they fell right into that trap. And that's that's going to sting a lot.
Well, apparently throughout the series, so they had like a 42% chase rate. So, I mean,
yeah,
that's pretty high.
Well, the 10-run game, just, you know, they're up six, they're up eight, they're still smashing the ball, the bank's going crazy. And it just gives me bad vibes, dude. When you beat the brakes off of a team like that, yeah, it demoralizes them. But they just move on to the next game. And I feel like you get into some bad habits sometimes. You know, it's going to be easy. You fall into that mental trap. Garrett Stubbs talking about celebrating the pool in Arizona. Like, man, I just think their approach going down there was this one's over. And yep. The Diamondbacks got back to their game, which was speed. Stealing bags, playing good defense, and smacking the ball. The Diamondbacks got crushed last night in game three. They had like 12 hits. I mean, that's a team that can hit the baseball. They're not a power-hitting team, but they put the ball in play. And when it was 10-0, I was thinking to myself, man, just save some of these. Because I go back to last year in the World Series, game three. Absolutely yep. Just destroyed the Astros, right? And at that point, the bank was still invincible in that playoff right. run. Yep. And after that, the Phillies got no hit and came up small in games five and six.
Yep.
And I know game over. Five was in Houston, but or game six was in Houston, rather. But, I mean, yeah. You know, they came up small after a really big night offensively where they hit four or five dingers and the bank was going crazy. And, man, it's just eerily similar the way that those two series played out. You got a 2-0 series lead, a 2-1 series lead, a 3-2 series lead, whatever. Like, they came up small. And, you know, you got to put some at the feet of the $30 million players. You got to put some at the feet of the manager. And ultimately, the bullpen and the inability to throw strikes. You know, if Sir Anthony Dominguez was dialed in all year and Alvarado was dialed in all year, and you know, some of these guys that you expect a lot from were dialed in, then maybe you go to them more. It felt like, you know, take out Ranger Suarez, bring in Strom, take out Suarez, bring in Hoffman. Like, you know, in the fifth and sixth inning, they were using guys that I would have liked to have seen later in the game. So you didn't have to go to Craig Kimbrel. But if Dominguez was Dominguez from last year, all of this past season, then maybe Kimbrel's never your closer for a second, right? Or when he struggles, now you go to, but this whole closer by committee thing, at the end of the day, it kind of bit him in the ass a little bit.
I completely agree. It's just, they just didn't know, like, when they've been successful, they had like their bullpen roles to find. And all year, because of people getting injured, and it was kind of like, all right, who's going to take the seventh tonight? It was such a crapshoot, which I think that kind of hurt them. So to your point, yeah. And listen, let's go get Josh.
The overreaction, like the next day on WIP, I don't even know why I did it, but I did it. I put it on and they're, oh, Dombrowski couldn't build a Ross. Are you guys kidding me? Like, literally a week prior, Dombrowski was going to the Hall of Fame, and the Phillies had the World Series wrapped up. And then the day after they lose, like, the GM's terrible. No, this is not on the GM, okay? It's not. Could he even done more at the deadline? Sure. Did he need to? No. He had one of the best teams in baseball second half of the season. They just they pooped the bed, bottom line.
Yeah. They just didn't hit. I mean, they
lost the momentum and they couldn't get it back. Look, they had a 2-1 lead in game seven for what, 6 minutes of real time? Like,
right.
And Rojas, here's the other thing. Game four, that game was, what I say, 5-2 before the Diamondbacks started the rally. There was a chance for the Phillies to blow that game open when it was 5-2. They had runners on. You know, if you even make it 6-2, 7-2, you make it where one swing of the bat can't tie the game. That's when I always feel way more comfortable.
100%.
And you're right. Rojas had a chance in game seven.
Yeah.
Castellanos had a chance in game seven.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they struck out, and it wasn't even particularly close. All right. Just disappointing as hell. Let's go to the birds.
Yeah.
You mentioned Dallas week. I have two unpopular opinions I want to get to, but why don't you just, talk about either the last few games or just pivot to this Dallas game. I don't care which. The birds have the best record in the NFL, 7-1, but it feels like there's still some something to tap into there.
No, it's just, it's when are we going to see the consistency? And that goes for both sides of the ball, right? Offensively, when are we going to see the balance between the run and the pass game? You know, one's either working and then the other one's shut down. It's kind of – and then you look at the defense. Like, they played a great game against Miami, lights out, and then they go against, Mr. second-year man Sam Howell, and the guy looks like Dan Marino, for Christ's sake. I mean, it's unbelievable that the Washington Commanders, Commodores, whatever.
Yeah.
Did you see that, by the way? Even Jim Nance picked up on the Commodores. Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Hilarious. But, and listen, they traded for Kevin Byard, the safety. I think it was a tremendous pickup for Howie. He's going to play with Reed Blankenship. And people need to realize, too, I think part of the problem with defense is we've kind of been a mass unit when it comes to the secondary. They've had 8 different combinations. That's right. They've only played 8 games, everyone. They've had 8 different combinations in the secondary. So that means, different starting safeties, different cornerbacks, different slot corners. So if we get some continuity moving forward, because we're going to need it, and this next, 6-game gauntlet we're about to face, which is just outrageous, I think we'll see the defense play a lot better. But the worrisome thing, too, is, Jalen's dealing with an injury. He was a total pocket passer last week. And what can you say about the season that A.J. Brown is having? 6 straight games with over 125-yard receiving yards, never been done in the history of the NFL. And the season he's having right now, the closest thing I've seen to it was 04 T.O., which was unbelievably special. I mean, the guy ended up with 15, 17 touchdowns. It was just crazy. But and just the way he just dominated folks, knowing that, listen, it was T.O. on that team and pretty much everybody else, a bunch of receivers, a solid tight end, and some good running backs. But you look at AJ, he's dominating and he's got other guys around him and he's still just doing everything. So it's unbelievable.
How do you size up the Cowgirls? Do you think we get good Dallas or bad Dallas this week? And with Hurts limited mobility, is Micah Parsons a concern?
Yeah. I mean, of course, Micah Parsons is a concern. I do like, we haven't talked about this, but it looks like Cam Jurgens is going to be coming off the IR. He's been activated from the, designated the return type deal. So he's going to be at practice. It'd be nice to get him back in the fold, because when Cam Jurgens was playing right guard, essentially the running game was averaging, I don't know, like almost like a yard more a cat, maybe not a yard more, but
yeah, it's pretty close.
It's up there. It's a significant difference. And as Pettis, he's filled in, he's been average at best. So if we can get Jurgens back in at right guard, that means we'll have our complete offensive line back. I'm sure Lane would love to get Jurgens back next to him. That would be absolutely huge. Are the Cowboys scary? Sure. I think you can run on the Cowboys. Their pass defense is pretty good, even though, again, now they still have Stephon. They signed Stephon Gilmore in the offseason, but Trayvon Diggs, unfortunately for him, he tore his ACL right before the season or his first or second game of the season. So that's a big injury. So offensively, we should be able to beat this team. But I'm so glad that this matchup's taking place right now, because a lot of times these matchups, one team's, sitting their players because the other team's resting. The Eagles really haven't had a lot of success against when Dak Prescott has played them. But the good thing is, guess what, Joe? Jonathan Gannon is not the defensive coordinator. So that's fantastic, because he used to give up 37 points a game to the Cowboys. Now we got Sean Desai. So I'm very enthused to see what, Desai's gang is going to do in this one. So, yeah, I mean, you win this game, you really, because Dallas has an easier schedule down the, I mean, easier remaining schedule. So, I mean, we have the gauntlet. Like, we play Dallas. Then we get a bye. Then we go Kansas City. Then we go Buffalo. Then we go Seattle. Then Dallas. I mean, the six-game stretch we play. At the end of the season, we get the Giants twice in Arizona. Sure, that's awesome. But these games coming up, I mean, yeah, it's going to be – but we're going to see what this football team's made of. That's what I'm looking forward to, right? It's like, oh, they played this crappy schedule. Who are they being? Well, now we're going to play some good quarterbacks. We're going to find out how good this team is. So I'm very excited about the opportunity to see what they do.
Prediction time. Give it to me. This week and over the next 6 weeks, how many wins?
All right, so over the next six, I think they're going to go 4-2 as far as the six-week prediction. I just, you know, I just, this team, I think they'll get back from the bye. It'll be much necessary rest, but I'm going, they're going 4-2. All right, this week, all right, the Cowboys, all right, we're going to put a 38 piece up on the Cowboys, okay? I'm
going
38-17, Fly Eagles fly, baby! Let's go! That sucks!
That's an absolute beatdown, dude.
Yeah, dude. It's about that time, man. We owe them. Oh, my God. Did you hear Jerry Jones today? Tell me you heard Jerry.
Did not.
Did you hear Jerry, though?
Did not.
Oh, my God. Okay, describes the football for all the people out there, and Jerry will be able to hear me because he'll be three doors down from me in the stadium. So, don't worry. I've been saving this one up. He's like, well, the football is oblong, whatever the hell that means, oblong. I guess, no, he says it's not round, it's oblong, and you never know how it's going to go and how it's going to bounce. Sometimes it bounces erotic. He said erotic and not erratic, erotic, okay? It's the most precious soundbite of all time. So if you don't think
he's had a few of them.
Oh, I know. He's a beauty, as you say, Joe, one of your favorite lines. If he doesn't think that John Mead is going to be screaming out erotic and oblong this Sunday.
I love it.
Oh, Jared. So what's your prediction? How are you feeling? What do you think?
Well, I got a couple things first before I get there, if I may.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, plenty of time.
All right. So the whole running back needed at the trade deadline, I didn't understand that. Did you understand that? Did you want to running back at the trade deadline?
No. That's a good point. Okay. Just because, like, we don't run the ball. I mean,
well,
okay.
Yes.
So, like, Derrick Henry, like, oh, let's go get Derrick Henry. The guy needs 15 to 20 carries a game.
Just to get going. Yeah.
Just to get in his groove. When have we given a running back 15 to 20?
Well, here, I got Ruben Frank had some numbers for you.
I love Ruben.
The last three games, in the first half of the last three games, so – six quarters of football.
Okay.
Just first half numbers, last three games, there have been a total of 23 rushing attempts for the running backs before halftime in the last three games. 23.
So that's four carries a half, essentially, right? You said three games or four games?
Three games.
So it's three.
So like seven and a half or so rushing attempts
before
halftime for running backs. So they're not running the ball. That's why the running – and over the last three games, it's a 3.1 yards per carry average, which is the worst in a three-game span since 2015 for the franchise. So, yes, the average has sucked, 3.1 over the last three games. But when you look at it, they're not running the ball a lot in the first half, just 23 rushing attempts before halftime over the last three games to running backs. They're not sticking with it. They're not trying to even get it off the ground and go. And it's frustrating. Give DeAndre Swift the goddamn ball. Sure, maybe Cam Jurgens' absence has something to do with it. Give DeAndre Swift the goddamn ball. Just give it to him in the red zone. Give it to him on first down. Give it to him on second down. Swing it to him on third down. I want that guy to have the football because he runs hard. I'm tired of the Kenny G experiment, okay? He was solid. He was solid in the playoffs last year, right? Because Miles Sanders is soft, and he made the most of the opportunity. I'm done with Kenny G. Unless Rashad Penny's legs fall off, Boston Scott's legs fall off, and DeAndre Swift is in the medical tent, I don't want to see Kenny G for more than a snap or two here or there. Stop giving it to him on fourth down. Stop giving it to him on third and two. Stop giving it to him in the red zone. He can't break a freaking tackle. I'm done. I'm done with Kenny Gainwell until somebody else is hurt.
Great point.
And why would we add a running back? Okay, so God forbid Swift gets hurt. Now you still have Gainwell, who you love. You have Boston Scott, who you
the
underused.
One thing I will say about Gainwell is, though, he can pick up the blitz, and I think
that's fine.
But come on, I'm with it. I'm with it. I'm done with Kenny J. I agree.
Yeah. So, all right. Anyway, that's my running back. My running back take. I'm just done with it. All right. I have a great win against the Dolphins. Obviously, the Jets game makes me want to puke. I don't know why the Commodores give us such a hard time, but you found a way to get the win. They woke up in enough time to get the W. This week, I think, you know, I don't know what to expect. Dallas does, for whatever reason, with Dak, seem to put up points. But, you know, he's susceptible to a pick or two. So let's create some turnovers. Let's establish a damn run. And the game's at home, right?
Correct, buddy.
Yeah, no reason.
4 o'clock.
No reason not to win the game. You win this game, you give yourself the bye where you're not miserable, and you know you have the best record in the NFL when you return to play. You lose this game, and Dallas, I think, plays the Giants the week after, so they're going to have the division lead. And now you're playing catch-up against teams like the Chiefs, the Bills, the Niners, whatever. Seahawks added on defense. The Niners got Chase Young. Seahawks added a hell of a defensive tackle from the Giants. So, like, it's gonna be a tough stretch. The Lions have a super easy schedule, and they have just two losses. You know, if you're looking ahead to the NFC playoff picture and home field and stuff, it's going to come right down to the end if they can't win this football game on Sunday for whatever reason. So pray to God they just get it done and play a clean game, put it all together, stop turning the ball over, and make sure Micah Parsons doesn't wreck the game. That's what I got for you. Get Goddard involved. He loves playing against the Cowgirls.
No doubt.
But I want to see
a
lot of DeAndre Swift. In the second half, I want the Cowgirls tapping out. I want them putting up the white flag because the running game is just pounding the rock. All right, I have two unpopular opinions, okay? I'm going to start with one that isn't going to really upset many people. The second one's going to upset some people, and it upsets me. But my two unpopular opinions, John Mita. One, Nick Sirianni concerns me. Like, I'm not seeing any growth from our head coach. He's still acting like a petulant super fan at times. from the press conferences to the sideline antics to some of the decision making. Like, I feel like he's erratic. I feel like he's too invested emotionally at times.
Right.
I'm just not seeing a lot of growth there, and that concerns me. So I'm not saying he's not a Super Bowl winning caliber coach. I'm just saying I'm concerned by the lack of growth that I'm seeing from the head coach. All right, I'm just going to leave it at that. You could chew on that one. Here's the other one. And this is this one,
really,
when I
unpopular.
Tell you it's unpopular, and personally it pains me, and I mean this, and I'm almost afraid to say it, but I'm going to say it, John Mita. This, I want you to take a minute. Yep. I need the floor.
Go ahead.
This is a statement that I will make here on the Brotherly Love podcast that will be like probably none other that I have uttered. And it is very, very disappointing that I feel this way. Like, I'm mad at myself personally. And I'm just going to get it out there. But I think that the great Merrill Reese is at the end of the road.
Oh,
and
no.
I hope that the Eagles win the Super Bowl this season so he can retire. He is.
Wow.
I listened to some of the game on Sunday, John Mita. And yes, as a broadcaster, I could tell you, we all have our mistakes. Every game, I'm sure a mistake is made by a broadcaster, right? Like, I can tell you that for sure.
Yeah.
I've noticed really over the last couple of years in hearing highlights that he's having trouble identifying players, which makes sense.
Yeah,
I'm taking nothing away from the Hall of Fame, legendary voice of the Eagles. I love him to death. But he's, I'm sorry to say it, he has to go. Now, he has to go on his terms, obviously. Okay, sensitive situation, but it's time.
Yeah.
It's time, yeah. John Mita. I listened to some of the game the other day.
Yeah,
against the Commanders, because I was having a tough time getting the stream up. So I'm like, hey, I'm within 100 miles of Philly. I know they're putting the games on the Odyssey app now, so I tune in. And there was about a 4 to 5, 6 minute stretch of football time in the first quarter where Mel Reese didn't know what was going on. Legitimately. Oof. And Mike Quick was bailing him out left and right from a picked up flag that obviously they played the referee's call and he said, okay, well, I guess they picked it up, Mike. Okay, that's fine. But then he didn't realize that because they picked it up, the yards gained on the run would still go, you know, would be counted, the play counted. So he was like, well, it's, and Mike's like, Mike Quick's like, well, they're, you know, that's because he got gained some yards on first down. Oh, okay, right. Then, like, at one point, he's literally like, they're going to spot him at the 11, at the 11. I'm like, man, that was a long pass play. And then he's like, oh, excuse me, the ball's going to be at the 26. Like, it was like a 15-yard difference, John.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just the identification of players, the situations, what was going on. I mean, it was, look, it could have just been a rough stretch. Maybe he wasn't feeling well. Maybe he was, you know, I don't know. But, and you know why this is so hard for me from a professional standpoint, like in my career, I would hate for the day somebody's like, this guy's got to go.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. It is time for Merrill Reese to retire. It is. And it pains me. Wow, I mean,
hopefully the Birds win the Super Bowl. But yeah,
I think that's just the way he's got to go out.
Man, I had no idea which way you were going, dude. I thought you were going to be talking about trading Joel Embiid or somebody else. I mean, I had no idea.
No, that's what I said. It's an unpopular opinion on the Eagles.
Yeah.
And nobody else is going to say this or talk about it.
Yeah.
But listen, I implore you at some point to listen to a few minutes of a game and you give me your opinion. The highlights still sound pretty good, right? Because he's got an iconic voice and call. Right. And sometimes you can hear he's, I don't want to say faking it because we've been there, right? Like I've been there. You don't know who scored the goal and you kind of have to stall until you figure it out. And I'm sure his spotter helps him a lot as damn well he should at his age and in the perch with binoculars. Like I don't expect him to pick up that it was Dallas Goedert, not Jack Stoll maybe that caught that pass. Yeah. But it's just, it's not there for him anymore.
I'm with you.
And again, I almost want to stop because I'm upset at myself that I'm bringing this to the table. But literally the other day it was unlistenable radio.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, I have tuned in when I've been caught up a little bit, but not much here and there when I've been. But yeah,
I feel like I should go right to hell.
Nah, I mean, there's times.
I'm like, trying to put this as delicately as I can. Yeah. I hope you understand that.
No, man. I mean, listen. I mean, he's been doing it for a really long time.
I know.
Then the question is, who replaces him? God, who wants that game?
As long as it's not Moves McCarthy, I'm good.
Oh, yeah. Moves. Can't be Moves.
You never want to be the guy that replaces the guy, John Mead. I've told you that before. And well, Robert's coming in is going to be the guy.
So. Yep, that's true.
All right. The Sixers traded that asshole James Harden, and I couldn't be happier. So we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. I mean,
well, actually, you know what? Actually, for our listeners, since we are a 4 for 4 podcast and we almost never talk about the Fly Guys, God bless them. Can you give me, by the way, Morgan Frost, don't trade him. Tortorella, get over your axe to grind. Okay. Sixers, give me the scouting report on the guys the Sixers brought in as quick as possible.
From Houston in that trade, or who are you talking all season? What are we talking?
No, the Clippers Harden deal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, KJ Martin, it's Kenyon's son, got upside athletic wing type player, doesn't really shoot it that well, but, like, you know, pretty good defender, going to be great on the breaks. I mean, the biggest thing with Nicholas Batum, Marcus Morris, and I forget who else they got, but the biggest thing is
Roko's back.
Oh, yeah, Roko. Now, the biggest thing with all this is that these are all expiring contracts, right? Flexibility. You got out of PJ Tucker's last year, his deal, because he had one more year after this deal. You're going to free up $60 to $70 million, right? So then you can go, as the great Brett Brown would say, you can go stall hunting again. Okay, go bring in another stall. So no, it's good. And let's see what Maxey does, man. Maxey, I'm so fired up because he's my favorite player on the team. I mean, him and Embiid. But just see what he can do and see what that next piece is. I just love the fact that Harden's gone, the toxicity, the whatever you want to call it, the terrible atmosphere. Goodbye, good rins. I don't know if you saw him in the video. Like, he came in, said what's up to Russell Westbrook and Terrence Mann, who that's who – see, the two guys that I wanted from the Clippers were Terrence Mann and Norman Powell. They would have been good fits and might have been, actually saw some significant minutes here, but Terrence Mann was a young player that the Clippers would not give up on. So – but we have flexibility, so I think Nick.
Wait, what was the video? He says it was up to Westbrook, and then what?
Like, you just see Terrence Mann is like sitting right next to him, and he doesn't even acknowledge James Harden. Yeah. I mean, he's just looking at his phone, like wanting to be like, "What's up?" Everyone else is like, "What's up, man? What's up?" He doesn't even look at him, so he's like, "Yeah, I can't believe this clown's here." So I'm just happy.
I'm shocked. No love for Toby is one of your favorite players.
Toby?
Crumble cookies, man. Crumble cookies.
Listen, Toby is a nice player.
Enough. I don't need this from you right now.
But he ain't no max player. Let's put it that way. He's a 15 mil guy. All right.
He is.
Not fair. All right.
You know, Toby one day could be a hate the face guy, to be honest.
Nah. I don't think he's ever like that. Yeah. I mean, he hasn't killed the fan base that bad. Yeah.
All right, brother. What'd you say? You said 38-17.
Yeah, 38-17. What's your prediction for the game?
I'm going to go
break down
24-20.
24. All right. Who are the MVPs? Offense, defense. Who you got?
Dallas Goedert, two scores.
Ooh, I got him in fantasy. All right. Who else?
And the defense, Jalen Carter makes a return with 1.5 sacks up the middle all day long.
Well, you know, you can't even bet these guys anymore, which is absolute trash, by the way. Like, you can't even go on DraftKings and bet Jalen Carter sacks because they think it's automatic. It's terrible. But anyway.
Yeah, they don't want to get their shirt taken. Yeah. So give me Goddard, 2 touchdowns, Carter, 1.5 sacks, mm-hmm, Eagles 24, mm-hmm, Cowgirls 20. All right.
Gotcha. All right. I'm going to go Devontae Smith with 2 tutties. The Slim Reaper gets real at home. Then defensively. Defensively, I'm going Kevin Byard. I thought he was going to have a pick last week. He gets one off Dak this week. He's going to be my MVP for the game. All right. The new blood. All right.
We got two housekeeping items. One, I never played your voicemail. I didn't even listen to it. So, John Mita, I needed a dog after the Phils blew game 4 and there was 2-2 series. John Mita called me and he said, "Rest assured, young man, the Birds will win over the Dolphins."
Yeah, I said – No, I said that. No, said the I Phils said it will was, take a, Saturday, game. It was a Saturday night.
Yeah. I told you it was going to be like 5 straight days of losing sports. I couldn't handle it.
Yeah. And I go, Phils will get it done tonight, go back to the bank with 2 to close out. Eagles will get done on Sunday Night Football, and then we'll close out at the bank on Monday.
Yeah. And I said, call me back and leave me a voicemail, and I'll play it back on the podcast. But when we didn't go 3-for-3, when the Phils didn't close out game 6, I just hit delete. Never listened to it.
Oh, wow.
I didn't want to listen to it. I wanted to play. I wanted to make sure the prophecy came through before I listened to it. So that's housekeeping item number 1.
All right. Number 2.
Oof. Now I'm forgetting what number 2 was, and it was an important one. Oh, man.
All right. For next podcast.
No, I got it. Oh, man. It was a big one, too.
All right.
Something was important. God damn it. All right. I'm getting old.
All right, so we are.
I'm going to remember, and I'm going to be texting you as soon as I get off here.
All right, do it, for sure.
Appreciate everybody tuning in.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Go Birds, go Flyers, go Sixers, and that's all we got.
Phillies jump off a bridge. Yeah, go Birds. Brother Love Podcast, John Mita, Joel Donald. Until next time, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you.